Former State Department spokesperson under Biden, Matt Miller, is saying on Sky News. Did it surprise you, Hela?
I can absolutely respond, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. It is absolutely disgusting. That's it. I'm going to be very blunt, Amy, because I worked in the exact same office as Matthew Miller. The reports that I mentioned that I wrote on a daily basis when I was a spokesperson, they went up that chain. They went up to global public affairs. I knew he knew because I was drafting reports showing the war crimes. When I was asked to spread those lies, I said, I cannot spread lies. I swore an oath to the U.S. Constitution when I became a diplomat. I had a top secret security clearance. That means we don't violate laws. We don't violate U.S. laws. We don't violate international laws. And if you are a true patriot, if you are truly a diplomat, you do not do as you are told when you know it is illegal. You do not do as you're told when you know it is immoral, when it is inhumane, and fundamentally as well, when you know it is a threat to U.S. national security, which we all knew, which I was also documenting. As far as I'm concerned, Matthew Miller has blood on his hands because he knew what he was doing was wrong, and why was he doing it? For careerism, I'm going to be very blunt, Amy, because I've perhaps I'm not as diplomatic as I should be or as I used to be, but it's careerism. And the only reason why he admitted it now, again, on TV, is because he thinks it's going to make him look good, where in reality, it makes him look terrible because everybody knew he was lying. But that does not make a good diplomat, certainly not. And fundamentally, I think it's going to haunt him for the rest of his life, whereas I have a very clean conscience and I'll continue to try to do good in the world. It's not about a paycheck. It's about the type of world we live in and we want our children to grow up in.
That was Hela Rarit, 18-year career diplomat who resigned from the State Department over the Biden administration's Gaza policy. We spoke with her Tuesday about joining the Global March to Gaza, which begins today in Cairo and heads to the Rafah border crossing in Egypt. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. CNN's reporting President Donald Trump spoke to Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu in a phone call this week and urged him to end the war in Gaza, among other topics. For more, we're joined by Democratic Congressmember Delia Ramirez of Chicago, who's introduced legislation called the Block the Bombs Act that would withhold the transfer of offensive weapons to Israel and demand Israel's compliance with U.S. and international law. Congressmember Ramirez joins us now from Capitol Hill. Can you lay out what's in the bill, Congressmember?
Yeah. Amy, first of all, let me start by telling you that everything is connected. You just heard that from Hela. It is so important to understand that in this precise moment, what Bibi Netanyahu wants is to continue to escalate this ground invasion and starvation of Palestinians, to absolutely take over Gaza and destroy Palestinian life. That's what he wants to do. Donald Trump wants to help him, and he wants to redevelop the land. Block the Bombs Act bill is critical and urgent. It's why we have 23 sponsors as we speak right now. It withholds a set of offensive weapons that you and I both know have been used repeatedly by Bibi Netanyahu with the authority of Donald Trump and previous administrations to be able to bomb children. So what this bill does is withholds the set of offensive weapons, and it says that if Bibi Netanyahu, if the Israeli government wants to use any of these weapons, it would have to prove that it is not violating U.S. international and human rights law, which you and I both know it's very difficult for a fascist like Bibi Netanyahu with his extremist friend, the duo Donald Trump.
How much support do you have for cutting off offensive weapons support to Israel?
Amy, it's a bill, not a resolution. I'm certainly a co-sponsor of the joint resolutions that we have seen of disapproval. But as of today, there are 23 members of Congress who have signed on to this bill. 22 original co-sponsors, including three Jewish members as original co-leads and co-sponsors. And we have a number of others from all over the country. We are talking to people every single day. There are people across the states that are calling and saying, Congress member, if you believe, if you are a pro-peace member of Congress, if you are tired of seeing the death toll and starvation of Palestinians, you must sign on to Block the Bombs bill. And I believe that more will go ahead. ahead and add on to the support. This is common sense, Amy. We can't keep watching this and go to sleep and act like we have no responsibility. Silence is complicity. We will wake up years from now and ask ourselves, what the heck did we do in this moment? Block the Bombs Act bill gives us an opportunity to finally assert our power as Congress.
Representative Delia Ramirez, we're going to ask you to stay with us. Democratic Congress member from Illinois, daughter of Guatemalan immigrants. When we come back, we'll ask her about how Chicago is one of the five Democratic cities where President Trump's announced he's sending armed ICE tactical teams and how thousands of protesters have been marching through the streets of Chicago this week. Stay with us.
Living is easy with eyes closed. Misunderstanding all we see. It's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me. Déjame llevarte hacia donde voy. Strawberry fields. Nada es real. Y nada hay algo que pensar. Campo se fresa por siempre.
Fields Forever, a rendition of La Santa Cecilia here in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump's deployed more U.S. troops against immigrant rights protests in Los Angeles than are currently in Syria and Iraq, according to recent Pentagon figures. But the protests continue and are expanding, like in Chicago, where thousands marched in the streets this week. Chicago is one of five Democratic cities where Trump has announced he'll be sending armed ICE tactical teams. Today, a federal judge will hear California's request to limit the activities of the National Guard and Marines deployed by Trump to Los Angeles to just guarding federal buildings. National Guard troops have also been involved in detaining civilians and have been accompanying immigration agents on their L.A. raids, provoking fear and chaos across the city. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, about the community-led protests continuing for a sixth day in downtown L.A., which saw a curfew for a second night. For more, we continue with the Chicago Democratic Congressmember Delia Ramirez. She's the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants, recently questioned Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem during a congressional hearing.
Your department is out of control, but you're responsible. You have betrayed the sacred fundamentals of your oath. And I believe to my core that you are not fit to hold the office. And I again, to your face, demand your immediate resignation. And I put it and place it on the record.
Yes, that's Democratic Congressmember Delia Ramirez questioning Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Congressmember, thank you for staying with us as you stand with us from the Capitol Rotunda. If you can talk about your response to President Trump escalating. We've seen what's happened on the streets of L.A., where he's sent out thousands of troops, National Guard, hundreds of Marines. Now he's expanding to five more cities, apparently. One of them is yours, Chicago, where he's sending out tactical ICE teams, and thousands of protesters have already begun protesting this week in your city. First, do you know what these tactical ICE teams are? Respond to what President Trump is doing.
Amy, what you are seeing is the beginning of fascism, point blank. He is sending the military to the cities that would dare to have dissent and resistance to what you are seeing. Mass deportations, the robbing of mothers from their children. And he is intentionally going to the cities where we know people are organizing and saying enough is enough. You don't get to trick mothers into text messages just to arrest them, throw them into freight elevators and shove them into vans as mass agents take them and take them away from their family. What he is about is control, suppressing dissent in order to dismantle resistance. The threats of sending these special ICE teams to Chicago, to Seattle, and other cities is about making sure that he can dismantle any organizing. But let's make sure we don't lose the plot here. The aggressor in this country is Donald Trump. Who we should be holding accountable are not people who are protesting the taking, the kidnapping, the abducting of their family, is the aggressor that serves as the United States president. And we have to understand what it is, because it's all interconnected. He, Bukele, Bibi Netanyahu want to rob us from our lives, want to suppress any dissent because they want our land. They want white supremacy to rule our countries. They want to rob us from our resources. And anyone who is willing to speak up, they are going to militarize to silence us. Everyone should be really worried. But at the same time, Amy, we cannot allow these fear tactics to win, which is why we cannot concede the power. Chicago is not going to stop protesting. We're going to continue to show up in the streets. We're going to monitor what is happening, and we're going to take a stand for our immigrant brothers and sisters.
Chicago is a sanctuary city. What does that mean?
It means that in the city of Chicago, in the state of Illinois, that local police does not help ICE agents harm, abduct, remove people. It means that people in Chicago are not going to be arrested for being undocumented. Immigrants are able to work, to shop, to go to church without the fear that the moment they leave their home, they will be abducted by a government who has refused to actually address the issues of immigration. And so as long as we have the leadership we have, as long as our community continues to stay out there, vigilant, building community, protesting the abductions, we will continue to be a sanctuary state.
What news do you have on ICE detaining children, separating families in broad daylight, arresting immigrants at their jobs, court hearings, terrorizing entire communities, also endangering everyone? Because when people are afraid to go to a health clinic, this is a problem for everyone. When people don't go to work, this is also a problem for their employers. Can you talk about how this cuts the response across the political spectrum?
Amy, it destabilizes everything. It destabilizes our schools when kids are not going to school, either themselves out of fear that when they come back, mom went to that court follow-up visit but then was detained, or mom worried that if she sends her child, ICE agents will present themselves and bully themselves through, and if that superintendent doesn't have the resources or the ability to stop them, they will take that child. We're talking about four-year-old children who are United States citizens, deported during cancer treatment. We are talking about employers, Home Depots, wholesale shoppers, communities across the country who are living in fear that anyone could be taken. These ICE agents don't know due process. They're not trained to understand how to be able to abide by the law, because the president and Secretary Noem are telling them, forget the laws. There is no rule of law when it comes to immigrants. So they're detaining U.S. citizens. Anyone who dares to dissent in this moment, they're sending the military to silence them. What is happening around the country should worry every one of us. Because here's the other thing, Amy. Let's be very clear. For fascists, they select a public enemy, and today is an immigrant. Tomorrow, literally tomorrow, is anyone they find undesirable. I have members of Congress in my committee who are filing legislation saying anyone who attempts to obstruct Donald Trump from doing what he wants should have their U.S. citizenship revoked if they're a United States citizen. All of us should be worried. It's destabilizing economies, destabilizing schools, people who are not going to the hospital and dying from fear of being deported in a hospital itself.
Congressmember, you are the only Congressmember to say that your husband was undocumented when you became a member of Congress. He is a recipient now of DACA. If you can talk about whether you're concerned that with you being so outspoken, you, your family, your husband will be targeted.
Yeah. What you saw was LaMonica MacGyver attempting to provide oversight at a detention center. And then now they are going as far as not just charges, right, indicting her for doing her job. This government does not want people like me, like LaMonica, or anyone to actually hold them accountable. Of course there are concerns there. And of course a number of us are asking ourselves, what are the safety plans you have to have in place? But I am not going to concede the power of the people. I will do what I need to do to protect my family, but I'm going to continue to fight this fascist government who attempts to silence people like me, people like LaMonica MacGyver, members of Congress whose responsibility is to assert oversight in this moment. It's why we should be at these detention centers. It's why we should continue to support folks that are marching in these nonviolent marches. They will attempt to say that all sorts of things, that we're inciting violence. Donald Trump incited violence here in this building on January 6th. He is the aggressor. He is who should be accountable.
And of course, you're talking about the New Jersey Congressmember MacGyver, who wrapped her arms around the Newark mayor, Ross Baraka, as they were arresting him, although they've dropped the charges against him. I wanted to go to a different subject as we wrap up this discussion. The House is expected to vote today to allow the White House to claw back $9.4 billion already appropriated by Congress, including $1.1 billion in cuts to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which provides funding to PBS and NPR. NPR describes the proposal as the most serious threat ever faced by public broadcasting since CPB was established in the 1960s under President Lyndon Johnson. Your response?
It is the biggest serious threat to national public broadcasting. It is what authoritarians do when they don't want people to report of what's happening on the ground. We should all be worried. Every single Democrat, but Republicans who want to uphold our Constitution, our democracy, should be voting against this rescission bill. It is dangerous. We have arrived to a moment that if we don't organize ourselves together and say enough is enough, I don't know how we turn back from it. It is absolutely dangerous. And Amy, everyone should be calling their member of Congress and demanding that they vote no on this rescission bill.
Finally, will you be protesting on Saturday? Will you be part of the No Kings protest as President Trump celebrates his 79th birthday with a the estimates are something like $46 million military parade with Abrams tanks rolling through the streets of the Capitol where you work?
Amy, we're hearing it's closer to $100 million now. He wants to waste $100 million of your taxpayer dollars while cutting Medicaid at the same time. I will be protesting in many ways. There are local things happening in my own district. I will be standing up with people, and I will make sure that our immigrants know that I am standing with them today, every single day.
Congressmember Delia Ramirez, Democrat, a congressmember from Chicago, Illinois, the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants. Next up to Los Angeles. What is a day in the life of an immigrant worker in Los Angeles like as troops flood the streets? More than 300 immigrants have been arrested just in the last week in L.A. alone. Stay with us.
I'm ready for the world. Oh, I'm ready for
produced by Linda Sagata of Hooray for the Riffraff in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to Los Angeles, where community-led protests have been ongoing for 6 days in response to President Trump's immigration crackdown. Protests began after ICE carried out a series of operations across Southern California last week. A curfew downtown L.A. remains in effect. Nearly 400 people have been arrested since protests began Friday. President Trump's taken the extraordinary step of federalizing the National Guard to deploy to L.A. and activating some 700 Marines over the objections of California Governor Newsom, who's now suing the administration. But at the center of this crisis are the immigrant workers, families, communities who've been directly impacted by the ICE crackdown. Hundreds have been arrested in L.A. over the last week alone. This is Kimberly Hernandez, whose father's now missing after a raid on a car wash where he worked.
We are extremely sad to not know where he is. We have not been able to find him, and this is unfair. We would like justice for him, and we would stop. We would like to live without the fear of being detained at all times.
As immigrant families are navigating this uncertainty, deciding whether or not to go to work, to go to school, to go to a health clinic, fearing for themselves and their families, we're joined in Pasadena, California, by Pablo Alvarado, co-executive director of Endelon, the National Day Laborer Organizing Network. Pablo, let's get right down to what is so personal for so many right now in the greater Los Angeles area. Describe the day in the life of an immigrant worker.
Good morning, Amy, and thank you for having me in your show. The life of an immigrant in Los Angeles and across this country, but particularly now in our city, is full of uncertainties. For a day laborer going to a Home Depot to seek work, to feed their families, it's full with a notion of uncertainties. It's not that just that you don't know whether you're going to find a job or not, whether you're going to get paid or not, whether you're going to have an accident at the workplace and receive proper medical care or not, is now whether you're going to be essentially arrested, detained, disappeared into this system of immigration that we have in this country. Families don't know whether they're going to see their parents when they leave in the morning to go to work. And people don't have any other choice because you have to provide for your family. So it's a lot of anguish. There's a lot of frustration. There's anger. There's fear. And all of these sentiments together have sparked protests all over Los Angeles, all over Southern California, not just in downtown Los Angeles. I know that people are focusing on downtown L.A. because that's where the violence oftentimes is taking place. But there have been protests in Downey, in Pasadena, in Santa Ana, in Monrovia, in Whittier, in many places, even in front of the hotels where the ICE agents are staying. So, yes, there's fear. There's that. All of those sentiments in our hearts, because the people that they are taking are members of our community. I'm going to read that because they have names, and their parents, their fathers, in the case of day laborers, their fathers, their grandfathers, their sons. And you see, I remember Sergio Lopez, Ramiro Arce, Ramiro Toc, Daniel Lopez Pop. They have names.
Pablo, you've been organizing day laborers for over 20 years. The Wall Street Journal has a report. Last month, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller said during a meeting at the headquarters of ICE that officials should target Home Depots and 7-Eleven stores so they can detain and deport day laborers. You are part of, or rather, if you can talk about the Pasadena Job Center, which helps connect employers with workers, and the increased significance of this focus, not on murderers and rapists, but on job centers.
Well, it appears that, yes, ICE and all of the federal agencies that are collaborating together are indeed executing the orders that Stephen Miller gave, and they are systematically going to Home Depot. And yes, day laborers and worker centers have become part of the landscape on not just Los Angeles, but all of in major cities across the country. Immigrant families, day labor families are part of the socioeconomic fabric of every single community all over Los Angeles. I happen to live in Pasadena where the fires took place. I'm a mile and a half away from Altadena. We were impacted. There's a worker center here. And let me tell you what happened right after the fire. It was immigrant workers that came to our place telling us what I possess in this life is in my body right now. But not only I don't have a job anymore, a house anymore, but I don't have a job anymore because the house of my employer burned down. And yet, these are the very same people that are removing the debris. These are the same people that are remediating the homes of people adjacent to the fires. And yes, these are the people that are going to rebuild Los Angeles. In fact, it's impossible to rebuild Los Angeles without migrant labor. 40% of the workforce in the construction industry is migrant labor, and documented and undocumented. And this is the hypocrisy of what the hypocrisy we're fighting against all over this country. Our country is willing to accept the fruits of migrant labor, but is not willing to accept the humanity of people.
First fire and then ICE. That's what the people of Altadena and Pasadena have been exposed to. And as you were describing, Pablo, these workers are now exposed, I mean, to the toxic cleanups. They're the ones doing this cleanup. And you have Miller saying, we got to expand these arrests to 3,000 a day, which how can they do that but go to work sites and find active workers?
Well, they are saying that they are not going to go to the places that have been impacted by the fires. But they were here staying at the hotel in Pasadena. Unfortunately, the community, people from all walks of life, by the way, it's not just migrant families that are coming out to protest the presence of ICE in our communities. It's people from all walks of life that are coming. You know, soccer moms. I've never seen that. Protesting to protect the immigrant workers. We have the council members coming out, the political class, everybody coming out.
Before we end, you're from El Salvador. You fled El Salvador. Now President Trump is sending people back to El Salvador, where the president of El Salvador himself calls himself a dictator. If you can respond to this possibility and what people are facing when they're deported to the places where their very lives were threatened.
You know, your question reminds me about all of this narrative about gangs. And I just want to remind Americans that gangs are a creation of this country. And when gang members were deported to El Salvador, the gang problem was exported from the U.S. to El Salvador. And Well, Bukele has established a state of exception in El Salvador, and it appears that now Mr. Trump wants to import that state of exception to the United States. And it's unacceptable, and it's un-American, and we're going to fight it.
We're going to continue this conversation in Spanish and post it on our Spanish website at democracynow.org/ES. I want to thank you, Pablo Alvarado, and remind people still hundreds of people from the United States have been deported to CECOT, the maximum security prison in El Salvador. Thank you.
Is that a normal part of your singing?
That's the way I've always sung. This is my song.
Are there subliminal duets?
Absolutely not.
The Metal Meltdown, a show of the fringy, melody-driven heavy metal from around the world. Melting your ears every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.